I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
You're such a disgusting liar.
And it's, I just want to, once this is all over, we can get back to face, I won't have to... You trying to trick me with this delay clap thing that you do.
I mean, we've had no complaints about it being done remotely, so if we can continue to do this remotely and I not have to spend any time with you, I see that as a, well, I see that as a guilty pleasure.
Oh, well, that's clever, because that is today's top five, but we're doing, it's backwards day, because normally we say, welcome to Hardcore Listing.
Oh, yeah, should we do that bit?
Hello, everyone listening. I'm Chris, that's Stu. We record top fives. And that's it. We pick top fives. You pick top fives. We all pick top fives.
We're really selfish. The reason that we probably don't get new listeners is the fact that we talk to our listeners like they understand every single thing that we've ever done. And if you're a new listener, they must just think, "Oh, we ain't in this gang. Like, what's going on here?" Like, so I guess we should try and be more inclusive for new listeners.
I want to stop you there. We do get new listeners. It makes you sound like we're like we have like five listeners.
Oh no,
we've
got seven.
Lucky. Seven. Yeah.
Well, look. What we normally do, if you are a new listener, bear with us because you're in for a bit of a laugh.
A real treat.
And what we always do is start by thanking our sponsors and our producer. Mm-hmm. So our producer is Mr. 76, so thank you very much.
Thank you, Stuart Mangy Mang.
So just, again, if you're a new listener, there's Stuart Mangan and then there's Stuart Whiffin. Mm-hmm. Stuart Mangan is 76, the producer. Stuart Whiffin is the handsome host. And our sponsors. Who's the most handsomest sponsor?
Today's definitely Charles.
Oh,
Luke!
No! Even thinking there, straight
Charles from Love Beer is well fit.
Yeah,
yeah, Luke.
Yeah, I mean the rapidness that you come out with that. Did you wake up with a little semi about Charles this morning?
Yeah, I did. To be fair,
yeah.
Luke, wretched features. Luke, bang boom.
Love-beer.co.uk is where you can get amazing beer. If you're watching this on Patreon, then here is the bottles
nice
that you get. I'm showing everybody my growler. Marvel at my growler. Charles will deliver ice cold growlers to your front door. They're clean as well. They're clean, really clean growlers. He wipes them,
gives them a good,
delivers them.
There's not one hair on your growler there either.
No, there's not. There's not, mate.
Spotless.
So, yeah, if you go there with the, if you go to love-beer.co.uk and put in the discount code.
LBHCLP, Love Beer Hardcore Listening Podcast.
That will save you 15% and it'll deliver lovely, lovely beer to your front door.
Yeah, boy.
Luke Van Boom won't deliver anything to your front door.
He'll deliver really good media content to you.
Not to your front door, he'll deliver it online.
Yes. Yeah, it's a bit embarrassed when you first started, tried to order it to your front door, wasn't it?
Yeah, I got it wrong, but we learn from our mistakes. So if you've watched any of the distraction pieces, quizzes, the hardcore listing quiz, if you go over to Patreon and you want to see Chris and I in a hot tub and some bizarre chit-chat and video content from Gail Porter and Scroobius Pip, it's all Luke Van Boom. Bang Boom Creative also do lots of the video content for Pop Bible, and I mean that's just the stuff he does for us lot. Mm-hmm. I mean he does proper stuff
shit
as well, doesn't he?
Children in Need. Works a lot with the Katie Piper Foundation.
Yeah.
Just these are just the fucking goody two shoes. Wretched goody two shoes.
Luke Van Boom, officially a wretched goody two shoes.
Yeah. And just a quick shout out, thanks to all our patrons as well. Obviously Acast and all our listeners normally, but also big shout out to our patrons for putting up with us.
Supporting us, Chris, not putting up with us.
Throwing us cash.
Yeah.
Buckets of cash.
And just a quick reminder, if you've never checked that out, I did mention the video earlier, just head over to P-A-T-R-E-O-M, patreon.com/hardcore listing. If you go over there, there is a free video you can watch, which is us lot dicking around, and it gives you a little insight into what you get. There's about 150 episodes over there that you can get stuck into that have never been released to the masses.
No, and, we release one a week, yeah.
Minimum at the moment. We're sort of putting out lots of content at the moment. Yeah. Right. Top five guilty pleasures, Christopher Glasson.
Chosen by Jessica Reed. Thank you, Jess.
Cheers, Jess.
Is it Reed because it's spelled R-E-A-D, or do you reckon some people call it Red? What do you reckon?
She probably can't read, so don't worry about it.
Yeah. Top five guilty pleasures. This is a good one. I really enjoyed doing this one. Go on, mate. You can start.
All right. Let's get me a little list up. Scenes. Yeah.
Go on.
Scenes, arguments, fights.
Oh, you little nosy Parker.
Right. It's horrible. It's horrible, right? And I want to clarify, I don't want to get hurt.
Yeah, but if they do, it's collateral damage. It was worth it.
Right. So what I mean is, like, anyone that denies it, I don't believe you, right? If you're walking down the street and there's someone having an argument,
yeah,
it's like, ooh,
yeah,
ooh, what's that? And it's like, because it don't happen very often,
no,
does it?
No.
And so when you do get a bit of a scene,
yeah,
I'm drawn to it, and I'm excited by it. And I think, oh, where's this going? When I mention fights and things like that, my guilty pleasure is watching things on YouTube like bully beatdowns and
karma,
things like that.
Ultimate Karma, 309.
Anything like that. When you see some gobshite picking on someone and then all of a sudden they get smacked around the ear hole.
There
you go.
There are just like, there's a day's worth of those videos, and I think we're probably up to date on all of them. We've completed that box set. And like some of them are like spinning kicks around the head and stuff like that for bullies on the playground for all. It's just amazing. Yeah.
The ultimate one being the skinhead dude up north where he's standing on the bloke's doorstep, letting him have it, keeps pushing his dustbin all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the bloke's just trying to calm him, telling him to move away, he doesn't want any trouble. Then the bloke takes a step off his thing and the bloke's right in his face, and then wham, just throws a karate punch.
Oh,
like, and the guy's like literally like Bambi feet, and he's all over the place.
Bambi feet and scrambling out of the front garden like a coward. Yeah. It is like textbook bully mentality, and Danny LaRusso wins.
Yeah,
that's a great.
I love it.
I like that as well. I've got to be honest with you. I don't, not so much fights these days. Like I got bored of fights, but like when it's like people bitching at each other on the train, I fucking love it. I've got to listen.
Totally. When like just before lockdown, should point out we're recording this during lockdown. Just before lockdown, there was a proper scene where it was in the morning, was on the train, it was heaving, and someone hadn't moved along enough to let someone get on the train, and this woman was really upset, and this bloke was being an absolute irrational cunt as well. Yeah. And you're just thinking, oh, here we go, and it's like morning trains is rife, you're always going to get a scene in the morning because people are tired, people are fucking pissed off, they've got to go to work, and they're crammed into a small space with strangers that are all kind of self-involved and more bothered about what they've got to do that day, where they've got to be. Yeah. And you mentioned something a while ago, and it is like sometimes you can get caught up in that mentality, and then all of a sudden someone will go, oh, sorry, mate, and you're like, and you instantly snaps you out of any thought like that, and you go, sorry.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it's them, that's a big percentage of people, I think. But then you get them bizarre, unique characters that go, oh, fuck off. And then that's when people start getting their phones out, and that's when a scene will ensue.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie, when there's a scene on a train, I'm all ears, I'm all eyes.
Yeah, definitely. There's like Reddit is a cesspit for videos, for karma videos as well. So if you want to check out crazy karma videos, Reddit is absolutely, there's so many. Where do you draw your line on car crashes? Because I'll be honest with you, I think maybe sometimes I've been curious, but then I realise that it's dangerous to rub a neck. So now I play a little game, and my dad taught me this game. The game is see how long you can go without looking at it and seeing if you can not look, and actually that makes me make sure that I don't look.
No, I don't go there. Like if I'm driving along and there's an accident and I'm not interested. Like, my priority generally is if the kids are in the car, it's making sure they don't look.
And
I don't know.
Because it could go into morbid fascination, that as well.
I've not got that. And when I say fights, like, I'm not a fan of walking down the street and seeing two people just brawling in the middle of the road. Yes, it'll capture my attention. Of course it will. Like it would anyone's. But I don't like to see stuff like that.
Yeah.
And obviously, doing the job I do, I see a lot of that, and I'm not a fan of it.
Yeah.
But
a little bit of a back and forth, a fallout over a hedgerow, I'm well up for that.
I'm all over that. And if there's just some fucking wanker gobbing off and then they just get their just deserves, I'm more than happy to press play on YouTube and watch that. That's my number five. What's yours?
Oh, eating the fat juice off of a roast dinner plate.
You know, when grubby fuck.
You know when you've roasted like a joint of meat and maybe you've had the veggies on there and you've got that blackened stuff that is definitely cancer? I can't not eat it. And it's as good as the roast dinner for me. Like, I could just be a roast dinner. Like, if someone said, like, I could be a roast chef at bloody, what's that place that does the big buffet? The roast dinner buffet. Where's that?
Are you talking about the one in Basildon?
Yeah, what's that one in the Festival Leisure Park?
Oh, I can't think what they're called. It's the chain, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's not Harvester.
It's like that. Whatever it is. If I worked there, I could gladly just spend the rest of my life until I'd probably die at 50 or less, just roasting those bits of beef and then just eating the fat off the tray. I know it's wrong, and it's something that my mum definitely got me into, I think, as a kid, because she quite liked it. And she's from a time where you didn't fucking waste anything, you know, anything. And it's so sweet and naughty, but it is just a heart attack waiting to happen when you're eating that shit.
I can add to that.
Go on.
So, generally, if we have a roast dinner, which we do most Sundays, it's... You know, I will. So a lot of the time, I will carve a chicken, and I know it's a heart attack on a plate.
Oh.
Crispy chicken skin.
Oh, fucking hell! Yeah, I could just eat that. I could eat that without the chicken.
Right. Yeah.
And for some people, like they'll look at you like you're an animal when you eat like crispy skin or skin, and I'm just like, no, like it's the best. It's making me really hungry just thinking about it now.
Sorry, veggies and vegans. That's probably not what you want to be hearing now.
Real sorry. Real sorry. What's your number four, mate?
You don't look sorry.
I'm sorry that they they don't get to enjoy it.
All right. My number four. What we got? Right. Leading you into situations.
What, leading me into situations?
Yeah.
I think Pip would 100% be like, I think that's why we really hang out, is because I can't, because Chris is going to take the bait.
Yeah, it's like anything like that, any scenario, like obviously I want to, you know, the Ken Livingston, you know, and Ben Kingsley, Sadiq Khan, Amir Khan.
You're always going to get that though, because didn't I do it 2 days ago?
Yeah,
I did it with Andrew Lloyd.
But you're getting wiser. You're getting wiser because when you guess something now, you're looking in my eyes thinking, I know what you're going to do, you prick. Because obviously I'm really blasé about it. Go, all right, yeah. Because I just want you to properly hang yourself before I just go, ah!
I'm just so bad with names, and I promise you, that well will never dry up. It's always going to happen. It's always
going to
happen.
That's one of my favourite things, just like... It's not a regular thing, but it's just every now and again when you're in mid-flow and you're off on one, and then you say something, I just think, oh, here we go, this is brilliant, strapping. and it is like that scene in Lethal Weapon where Glover's on the toilet and Mel Gibson's trying to defuse the bomb, and it's like, I've got to be so careful how I play it, because any little tiny move, and your little brain will go, oh, he's winding me up. So I have to really, really manipulate the situation just to get the pure gold bullshit. Yeah, I think that's my number four, mate.
It's a very good one.
Watching you just disappear on one and just, yeah. Then wishing the podcast would hurry up and end just so I can text Pip. Guess what he's just said.
Can't believe what he's just said. My problem with that is, I don't think you and Pip do it as often, but I'm just a bit like, I don't know if it's because I'm just dumber, or
probably
not that interested. Like, I don't get, because I do it myself, I guess I don't see the value in it as much. It breaks my little heart every time you do it. number four. Oh God. I've got so many. It's difficult. It's really difficult. I'm going to go with Battleship, the movie.
Battleship?
Yeah, exactly. Right. This movie came out about 5 years ago, right? It stars Rihanna. I don't think you need to know any more than this, right? And I mean, I watched this 2 weekends ago with my mum and started crying. And... it is not.
Have you had a late night or
mate,
a drink
no,
or something?
No, I was fine. I weren't feeling sick. I was an absolutely, absolutely normal. And you shouldn't be crying to this action movie. There's no way.
It's an action movie as well.
It's an action film based on the board game Battleship, where aliens land in the water and basically they've got these force fields and they destroy a load of ships that are on a training mission. With a load of, like, it's an American and Japanese, like, coordinated training day. And basically they start wrecking the ships and stuff like that. And there's this story where basically they've got to figure out how they can defeat the aliens with these force fields. And in the end, once they get them down, they can't see each other and they have to use radar or something to figure out and shoot, predict where they're shooting, just like the game. And I really like it. And I know when I'm watching it, I'm like, everyone I know hates this film. And it's almost doesn't make it into my guilty pleasures because I honestly can't see what's wrong with it. Like, everyone hates it, though. But I love it. I think it's great.
Explain the scene that made you cry.
Right. Basically, right towards the end, all the good guys...
The fact that you said right three times makes me think that you're expecting all of us to brace ourselves because we're probably about to break down in tears.
Grab a tissue or a towel.
Never, ever listen to Chris when he says grab a tissue.
Grab a towel, because here we go. Right. Basically, they've lost the good guys and the baddies, because that's how movies are, right? Good guys and baddies. Basically, the good guys have lost their last ship, but they've figured out how to defeat the bad guys, and they've got one of the bad guys' ships left to go. And because they're on this training day, and they're like, oh shit, we can't do anything else. And then they look over and there's one of these old like American battle cruisers from like World War II that's been decommissioned. But because like they've done it as a little payoff. You'd seen all the old boys on the boat originally, like at the start of the training day. So, you know, there's this decommissioned boat with all the old Navy sailors. And then you see all this. I'm getting choked up over it now. This is ridiculous. This is so ridiculous. And like they look over and then they're like, but how are we going to beat the bad guys? This is me paraphrasing. And then they look at the old ship and then they see all the old boys standing at their posts. Oh! And he's like, we're here. What do you need from us, man? And I just love it. And then it starts with AC/DC Thunder starts. Well, they start loading up all the missiles. And I'm like, yeah! And honestly, it just gets me every time. And it's such a bad, like, I understand. No, I can't understand why everyone hates it so much. I think it's a great little, it's a really fun and frivolous action movie.
Yeah.
And the guilt is that everyone else hates it. So I feel like I shouldn't be enjoying it because everyone's like, yeah. Oh, this is terrible. Rihanna, she's fine in it. Everyone's like, oh, Rihanna's shit. I'm like, I've seen 1,000 fucking supporting actors worse than what Rihanna was doing in that movie.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's not make this. Let's not record more than 10 minutes over what I think Battleship the movies gets me.
Have you been sent in lockdown? Some of me mates, some lads,
yeah.
have been sending me battle nips. Have you played that yet?
Yes, I have. Yeah, I have.
Yeah,
I've been quite good at it.
All right. Oh, well done.
Quite good at it.
Just
the creepiness in me. I think.
I should say that a little disclaimer on guilty pleasures. You shouldn't feel guilty for a pleasure, right?
No, you shouldn't. Unless that's murder or unwanted sadism, I would say, yeah, they're the ones that you should fucking really be worrying about.
Really?
All the dark ones, yes. But,
oh, right, okay. Thanks for listening, and we will be back next week.
But I think most guilty pleasures, no, of course not, you shouldn't. And like I sort of, like, as I say, with Battleships, not, it's a tough one for me because I don't feel that guilty about it. But health-wise ones, I guess there's more of a reason to... I think you can understand
why. Yeah, I suppose,
why,
yeah,
you
know,
if it's like really against your health. Yeah, so that's my number four, mate. What are you going for?
Well, I'm staying with health. Okay. There's a television programme on one of them really shit channels. I don't even know what channel it's on. And I mean, it does what it says on the tin. The TV show is called Dr. Pimple Popper.
Oh, that's my number three.
Is it?
Yeah. That's
really?
Incredible. Yeah, honestly. But mine's not the TV show. I watch it on YouTube.
Yeah, right, that's my number three.
No there way. Hey. Yeah. Spot bursting videos.
Yeah. So if you, I mean, obviously that was my introduction into the glory of, seeing cysts and giant blackheads being pushed out of people's bodies. I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of it. Dr. Pimple Popper is this lovely doctor in America, obviously. Her show generally has about 3 different patients who come in. And obviously healthcare is not free out there, so some of these cysts and growths are out of control. And so there's 2 types of cysts. So there's the one that is just like a big ball of, looks like a brain,
yeah,
where she literally gets her gloves and pulls the thing out whole a lot of the time. And these would be like huge ones on like people's backs and things like that. But then the best ones... when she gets like a welder's mask, like a full visor, because you think she knows what's in there, that's going to blow.
Yeah.
And like, and then just that big push and squeeze of cream cheese just going everywhere. Like, it's just pure euphoria for me.
Oh.
When that goes, like, literally Karen and I will be high-fiving each other on the sofa.
Oh.
Just how fucking incredible it is.
I don't understand. I don't know where this comes from in human psychology. I don't understand.
It's because it's different, isn't it? It's unusual.
Yeah, but also we have to groom, don't we? Part of human nature is grooming, and your face just freezed there and it looked like you were having a stroke. I was nearly on the phone to 999. It's that, yeah, I think it's part of grooming and stuff like that. I find it fascinating. And like...
go on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
one I want to give a quick shout out to is not Pimple Popper, but I saw someone remove a bug from a cat's nose the other day. And this bug was probably a fifth of the size of the cat's fucking head when it comes out of its nose. It's incredible. I might find it and send it to you. But have you ever had the opportunity to burst a big like spot or anything like that?
I had one on my head.
Right.
I had a growth that was the cyst that pops and bursts.
Yeah.
Literally just at the back of my head, and it just started off as a tiny little bump, and I was like, "Oh, what's that?" And then, like, all of a sudden, it just seemed to get a bit bigger over about a year, and then it was like, "All right, I think I need to go and kind of get this looked at."
Yeah.
And there's like a tiny little doctor surgery around the corner where they do like minor sort of procedures like that. And so I went there. And they stuck a couple of needles in my head and injected it. And then they sliced it, obviously. And then all I remember, I couldn't like feel anything. But then I could just feel stuff running down my neck.
Oh, wicked.
And I was just like, oh, that looks good. And then I could see the kind of stuff that he'd got on the tissue that I'd put in the bowl. And then he had to sort of stitch my head up a little bit. So I've actually had it as well. I'd like to have kind of had it filmed and seen it, but obviously it was on the back of my head. So
my mum is like, so from about, this got going back 20 years, and I used to comb my mum's hair just as a nice thing for her sometimes. And then one day I saw on her back, she had a blackhead. And this blackhead, mate, it was fucking big. And that was the first one I ever did where what came out, I mean, like the top of it was hard and it had to be about 3 mil in dimensions, this head, which people, I mean, you think that's not that big, but actually when you look at it.
Yeah, of course it is.
It left a permanent, and to this day, my mum's still got that hole in her back because that's how big and deep it went. The skin never closed up. And then she's got this other cyst on her back that never complete, like always goes, but then comes back. And me and my niece, because my niece is absolutely fascinated. When I was a youngster, as a teen, my niece was always popping spots on my back. She loved it. And we've got this cyst on my mum's back. And it's just like constant, like, you know, we get to go and do that every like 6 months. And it is like, sometimes it's not that good. And other times, like the other week I did it. Oh my God. It's crazy. It's disgusting, but I don't know what it is, but I absolutely love doing it. And when it bursts, it's so satisfying. And we've probably lost a load of patrons now. We know, I know that one of our sponsors, Luke, said to us, "Why the poo episode, guys? Why the poo episode?" But then loads of people loved it. We got loads of... It's quite funny.
People that listen to this podcast, by now, if you're easily offended and don't like a couple of idiots talking drivel, then you're on the wrong podcast.
On the wrong podcast, mate.
Yeah. All right.
That's three. So you're number two, buddy.
I'm going to go for... And this isn't a guilty pleasure. It's a pleasure. But I guess if you're going to talk about it in the context that we are, I'm going to go for a power ballad.
Oh, right.
So there's a few that spring to mind. REO Speedwagon, Keep On Loving You. I'm going to go for... I Have Nothing by Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Anything like that. Leona Lewis, Bleeding Heart. I thought that was amazing. Bleeding Heart, Bleeding Love. Yeah.
I got caught singing a Firework by Katy Perry in my car really loudly once.
Tune. And like Chandelier by Sia. Yeah. Oh, there's a power ballad for you. Well, I suppose it's not really has a ballad got to be about love? I don't know. But, yeah, that kind of fist pumping. I mean, you know, things like Total Eclipse of the Heart. You know, how can you not, when that comes on, just think, yeah. I mean, my favourite, I'm going to go Against All Odds by Phil Collins. The amount of times I've been flicking through the radio, generally stumbled across Smooth or Magic and Take a Look at Me Now. Because there's just an empty space. And I think, oh, I'm on board. I'm on board. And... yeah, but for someone whose passion is music and
even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods
for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, and trying to be Mr. Indy Schmindy, like, I've got as much love for that as I have a Maccabees B-side. Colin Murray loves a power ballad. And I don't know if it was on our call listing off the beaten track that we went in on it with, but yeah, he loves a good power ballad. And what's not to like? Overblown, loads of strings. There's a few that I don't like that are like up there. Yeah. I really don't like anything by Bon Jovi.
Yeah, sure.
And I really don't like Don't Want to Miss a Thing by Aerosmith. I can't stand that record.
Yeah, wasn't that on what was it, Armageddon soundtrack or something?
Yeah.
I couldn't get on board with that either, mate, really.
Yeah. So I have no issue with Aerosmith. They got some fucking rocking tunes, but that ain't one of them.
It was just always banged out at Jumpin' Jacks back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. But I think, yeah, if we're talking Aerosmith in films, you know, we need to be talking about Dude Looks Like a Lady in...
Dude Looks Like a Lady.
In, oh my God, what's it called? What's it fucking called? Williams.
Miss Doubtfire.
Yeah, of course. that's it. I'm going to go for the power ballad for number two. Christopher?
It's a tough one, this. I'm going to go with... When I used to live with Mark and we used to watch TV shows together... And say he was at work or something, and we were watching The Shield, and then it'd be really naughty, but I'd watch an episode in front of him.
You cunt.
That's naughty, isn't it? We should have just ended it there.
That's proper mean, that
That's
is,
naughty,
man.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Like, there's loads of things like that that we'll watch together, and it's like. And I think, oh, I've got a bit of time. Oh, I wonder what I could put that. Like, I mean, first time I watched 24, it was probably the closest I got to doing something really low.
I
like
want to have it straight. Let's have it straight.
Let's have it right.
Let's have it right. Mark started that before I did. He'd started the trend of doing that. And then I'd be like, you see, you've watched half the season. He's like, yeah. And I'd be like, you can't. So he did start it. But once he'd started it, I did see the value in it, but I only ever did it with Mark. But yeah, it did feel naughty. Yeah, and 24. The thing is, 24. They really made it so that you.
It's crack. It was pure crack.
It was, wasn't it? You really, really had to watch the next episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they took Cliffhanger to a different dimension.
Oh, it was. Right? Yeah, it's like they were writing it for that reason. It's funny because things like the Wire. Never ended really on a cliffhanger, and yet you still really wanted to watch it. And I think that was a tremendous sort of like bit of why they were so good, such a good story.
Yeah.
But yeah, I did feel naughty when I used to do it.
It's a guilty pleasure, mate.
It's a guilty pleasure. That's what it's all about. What's your number one?
My number one, a cocktail.
Any cocktail?
No.
Go on then.
Because you can have loads of really credible cocktails now and look like a hipster.
Mm.
I like a pure Del Trotter pina colada.
Oh, I love a club pina colada.
And like, and so what'll happen is, you know, not so much now, but obviously when the kids were younger, we would, you know, our holiday would be somewhere all inclusive.
Yeah.
And so you'd order your drinks and and I look, there's nothing I look forward to more about a holiday than a pina colada.
Yeah. Ah, mate.
However, when your pina colada and your pint of beer arrives via the waiter, I reckon this has happened, I'm not joking, I reckon 20 times.
Yes.
He will put the cocktail down in front of Carol and go, madame. And then he would put the pint of beer down in front of me. And first couple of times, I just thought, this is quite funny.
Yeah.
But then after that, I was like, hang on, mate, that's my one.
Oh, I always do
and
that.
Because Carol will just neck pints. And I'm not suggesting that men drink pints, women drink cocktails. But a lot of people will, when putting drinks up, will presume
that. Of course, totally.
But no, I like a really elaborate cocktail. When even if we go on holiday in the UK, we go to a place called Potter's, and whenever I go there, it's like, right, what's everyone drinking? And invariably, most people will be like, I'll just get us a pint. And I'm like, okay, can I have 4 pints, and can I have a Mai Tai, please?
I'm the same, man. I'm the same.
I'm all over it.
Yeah, like, I love it. There's the pina coladas. You can't make a big enough pina colada for me.
Right, well, so this is really interesting. So it's my birthday, wasn't it, 3 weeks ago, something like that? And so I decided I was going to start making some pina coladas. So
yeah.
I bought some white rum, and I bought some pineapple and coconut milk. And I never made one myself. You know, I bought the kind of pre-mixed ones, and they're all right. But when you make them yourself, what's good is you can put as much rum in it as you want, and you can make yourself a fucking pint of it if you want. But yeah, that's my... It's not even... I guess it's a guilty pleasure, but it's the one thing that I don't have every day, that when I go on holiday and everybody's excited to have a nice cold pint of San Miguel, I'm like, nah, I'm all right, thanks, mate. Can I have one of them ones? But can I have an umbrella as well, please, and a straw?
Oh, man, yeah.
Like, I'm on board.
I want
an elaborate, over-the-top 80s cocktail.
Oh, man, I'm totally with you on that. Absolutely.
What's your number one, Glasson?
I was torn between two things. One was a particular food, and the other is a band. Can you tell me what those two things were that I was torn on for my number one? Can you think of what the food is?
Right, the food's a pot noodle.
On toast. Yeah. If you really want to go for it, be extravagant. Great, have some grated cheese on there.
Oh, you dirty girl.
I don't even understand why I did that. Why I liked it.
I mean, you grate cheese on anything and it's better, right?
I guess so. But it's from a dark time. So what's the band?
Limp Bizkit.
It's Limp Bizkit. You know me well. You know me well. I think the thing with Limp Bizkit, right, is it's like that new metal era. We should do top five new metal. We should try and get Acaster on for that, shouldn't we? Or Ed?
We should have got. We've got Ed Gamble coming on very soon, haven't we? And it's a shame that we didn't pick top five new metal with him, because that is his absolute forte, isn't it?
Well, we can always do. We could even drop it to him as a message.
Yeah.
So
I mean, don't get me wrong. His top five is incredible.
So good. I've already thought of about six.
Yeah.
For that top five. The thing is with Limp Bizkit, I remember Tom Coles playing their second record, Significant Other, to me, and going, listen to the start of this, and it was the intro. And I thought, this sounds really good. Like, it's a great little catchy thing. And I listened to it once through, and I liked it, but I obviously hadn't picked up most of the lyrics on it. And then I think I saw Breakstuff music video, which had Snoop Dogg on it, and, you know, it was quite cool and stuff like that. I was quite young. I was like 50. And, yeah, I just really, really liked it. And then the more I listened, the more I was like, these lyrics make no sense. I mean, like, they're not even poetic. They're just like, some of them, like, feel like he's just said that word because it rhymed. Like, nookie, I do it all for the nookie. So you can take that cookie. What cookie? What does that mean? You can take that cookie and stick it up your ear. Like, there's loads of weird lyrics like that. And Fred's behaviour and a lot of the sort of, like, shit that got stuck to Limp Bizkit because of, like, Woodstock when their fans absolutely wrecked it, didn't they, afterwards, Woodstock 99. It all became a bit of a, like, oh, I feel, like, bad, like, listening to it. But I've got to say, I think, like, some of the production... what's his bollocks on guitar? What's his name?
Wes Borland.
Wes Borland, of course. The drummer and all that. They're fucking really... They're very good musicians. And every now and then I'll watch a Guilty Pleasure. I'll watch a Limp Bizkit live, thinking, they're still doing mass live shows. And Fred's a decent front man. Like, he's like chalk and cheese. Like, I think, like, some people are going to like him. Like, their fans are going to love him. And then other people, I can totally see why he's grating as well. So, yeah, it's Limp Bizkit, man. Limp Bizkit. Don't really want to say to people, yeah, oh, yeah. If someone said, what's one of your favourite bands? They aren't one of my favourite bands. But there was a time when they probably were for a little bit up there. I was listening to them quite a lot. Yeah, I don't really want to go running around saying that, although we talk about them all the time on the podcast.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're a bag of fucking shit. Oh, yeah. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes, so if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out. So go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. Podbiblemag.com.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.